Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Tony, let's go. That's right. Joe's got like three different entrances to this show. It's fine. He used to be the executive producer of the show. He has moved on to much bigger platforms. You can hear him on the Mully and Hanley show doing updates from 5 until 9 a.m. On Sundays, he and Barry Rosner have one of the best baseball shows in the country. Hit and Run, you could hear it at 9 a.m. until noon. Joe joins us once a week, and he joins me now here on The Score. Hello, Joseph. How was Little League today?
Oh, today was a busy day. Yeah, Tebow was great. My son was fantastic at digging holes in the second base area. Did a great job with that. But earlier in the day was the highlight. You ever go to an amusement park or something like that, where they have a lot of rides, a lot of games and all that?
Yeah.
And you're the only one there?
No, I've never had that experience.
Yeah, it's awesome.
What'd you do, like Odyssey World or something?
Yeah, that's exactly what we did. Yeah, the wife was at work, so I was like, we've got a few hours to kill. Let's head over there.
That's fantastic. Oh, man, you must have had a blast.
We played laser tag, and it was the three of us. So it was them against me, and we had the whole play.
Oh, that's great. Oh, those kids are going to remember that, like, forever, man. That's outstanding stuff, sir. And apparently Roger Bossert is running your field out there.
I was looking at the forecast. There was a window, apparently, because I thought there was no way that we were going to have to worry about getting him over to the game, but we did barely just in time, last one to arrive. But yeah, there was a window. We got it in. I was expecting the fields not to be able to take on as much water as we've received the last 24 hours.
Well, okay. Well, good. At least the Cubs games over the last week weren't rained out. They're 5-2 on the homestand, but there were some issues that came out of the homestand. I want to start with you, Darvish, with you. Watching him through 30 innings now, an ERA of 6, the fifth inning split is ridiculous. It's real, real bad. What's going on?
You know, it's funny. You say 5-2. You could have told me that they were 2-5 on that homestand, and I would have believed you. Those last two losses to Colorado to lose that three-game set, it felt like they just – it felt like five losses right there. The way they've been playing, not hitting mostly – it's amazing that they walk out of that with a 5-2 record sweeping Milwaukee. What's going on with you, Darvish? I'm actually buying what the Cubs are selling. We heard it from Jed Hoyer today on The Score. We heard it yesterday after the game in Joe Maddon's postgame press conference. You look around, it's not the velocity. It's simple enough. It's the location. Every time he's getting smashed, look at the location. It is center cut. And you're facing players like Nolan Arenado or home run hitters like Trevor Story. That's going out of the ballpark. So he said to the Japanese media, he was blaming some of the pitch selection at certain times. But I'm buying into the location factor right now.
Do you think that there's an issue of communication between him and Wilson Contreras?
I'm not trying to make excuses for Darvish. I'm just trying to take a step back and understand everything that's happening and where our expectations were for the first month with a pitcher that has the $126 million pressure on them of that contract, someone that was supposed to take the rotation to another level, and now everything's new in your world. And I understand that was going on at the end of last year when he was traded over to the Dodgers, but a bit of a different situation. I do think the language barrier is a major factor. And we're sitting here questioning, so what's going on? Like, we're really not clued in because we're not hearing directly from Darvish. So I do think there is something there with Contreras. And I think another clue with that is what Hendricks said on Inside the Clubhouse over the weekend on The Score. And he's talked about it when he hasn't been shy about it at all. He's giving every clue in the world. Hey, yeah, I really prefer working with Caratini right now.
Yeah, with Contreras, and I heard you guys kind of discussing this and talking about whether or not that means that we'll see Caratini be out there more for Hendricks' starts. I think that not just the actual language barrier itself, but the way that guys communicate. Wilson Contreras is a pretty honest dude, and he can be a little bit loud. And, you know, one of the things I learned this week was that he's not doing interviews in English anymore. You know, when I went out to Wrigley, I was a little bit surprised by that, but he's only doing, because he doesn't want stuff to get lost in translation. And I understand that, and I respect that. And it stems from, apparently, his comments that he had about Darvish's last bad start.
The Colorado game.
Absolutely.
Colorado.
So these two have to get on the same page, and I'm wondering, how do you go about doing that other than having them continue to work together?
No, I think that's it. They just got to work together and figure each other out. That's why I'm trying not to overreact, even though it's difficult when he's been pulled in the fifth inning and four of his six starts, and this is all we really have to work with. But there was some of this going on in spring training, and he was getting lit up, and, oh, it's spring training, it doesn't matter. But still, you know, I think it does matter when you're working with a new catcher, and the Cubs do things differently. If you read today's piece with Gordon Whitmire about Mike Borzello, and he doesn't seem to care for the pitch selection so far, and the way they do things here is just not what he's used to. In the last calendar year, this is a guy that's been on three different teams working with three catchers and three different systems, the way they go about things. I think it's going to end up just being time. I don't think it's going to be a big bust. Prior to the last start, the heat was coming on because of Jake Arrieta. I'm sure a lot of people right now would take Jake Arrieta over Yu Darvish, but my question about Darvish is, do we have the history? You know, with Anthony Rizzo's struggles, nobody's concerned.
Right.
I think if you're concerned, you're being a fool because you know what he is.
He's 30 and 100.
Every single year, and it's coming around. It's starting to come around, and it will come around. Every number out there suggests that it's definitely going to bounce back, and we've seen this from Anthony Rizzo before. Yu Darvish is going to turn 32 this season, and he's had 30 starts twice in his career. So do we truly know what if he stays healthy, what he looks like over the course of an entire season? That concerns me a little bit. I think he's going to end up all right. No, I don't think his ERA is going to be in the fives, near six all season. I think he'll be able to bounce back, but they just have to continue to work with each other. And the personal catcher thing, especially with Jimenez, the Cubs said that's off the table, and it should be off the table. If you want to work Hendricks and Caratini together, I'm okay with that. I don't have a problem. You like to see your catcher at least once a week. But I'm not making a spot on my roster for Jimenez, especially for a team that's not hitting right now. And now you're going to make that offense even worse.
Well, that's the next thing that we need to talk about. We're talking with Joe Ostrowski. You can hear him on the Mully and Hanley Show from 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. every Monday through Friday. And then on Sunday, hear him and Barry Rosner with Hit and Run 9 a.m. until noon or sometimes till Cubs pregame. Why aren't the Cubs hitting?
The weather excuse is out the window.
Yes, it is.
They haven't been going against the best starting pitchers in Milwaukee and Colorado of late. I don't think you'd look at them and say, oh, wow, how are you going to hit against them? They're not the Mets. You're not going against the Nationals here, so you can't use that as an excuse. And it's funny to me, Lawrence, the natural reaction people are having over the past week, maybe it's because Joe made some changes when they didn't want changes, is they're putting it on Joe Maddon. To me, that seems a bit like fire Greg Walker. I didn't have a problem with him shaking things up. I had an issue with him taking Almora out of the lineup. That dude needs to be in the lineup every single day for a reason we'll be talking about in a couple of minutes. But it's not Joe. Nobody in that lineup is hitting. The best hitter recently is Addison Russell, and we think Anthony Rizzo is starting to turn it around. This team strikes out a lot. There are different reasons for everybody. Now, why I think Rizzo's definitely going to bounce back is you look at BABIP, and it's going to normalize to 300 most seasons or somewhere in that range. And if you look at Rizzo's BABIP this year, it's 175.
Oh, my goodness.
So yeah, that's coming around, and we've already started to see it come around. So I'm not worried about him. They are so streaky. This is my biggest concern with this team. I'm not worried about them winning the division, even though they fell back out of first place. My concern for this team is in a short series in the DS or just in the playoffs, period, this team might not be able to hit because they are so, so up and down.
So what remedies are there? Because I'm sitting there, and look, I get it. You've been playing Baez and Almora, and they needed a day off. I understand you're trying to get guys a day off. And I think that some of it, and I was at Wrigley when, you know, Joe was talking about this, some of it has to do with him wanting to get more fastballs for Rizzo. So he pops Rizzo into the top spot the same night that, you know, Bryce Harper is hitting leadoff for the Nationals. I kind of understand it, but I feel like this was an easy bridge for Joe to just kind of quietly move Almora and Baez out of the 1-2 spot, which I felt like was working. I get it. They don't walk. I understand. They don't walk. But the two guys were hitting at least, and were at least putting some people on base in front of Chris Bryant.
They were. So Joe moved them out 2 days after their 11-game hitting streak end.
Right. Exactly.
I know he was waiting for that window. I know he was. For a while, it didn't seem like he could at the time. Remember what Almora was doing in Colorado, and he's playing great defense in the Milwaukee series too. You just couldn't move him. As far as Almora goes, I didn't have an issue if you move him down in the lineup. I totally get it. The numbers actually back it up. Every time a left-hander's out there, lead him off. I'm cool with that. My thing is, I just want the guy on the field. If you move him down towards the bottom of the order against righties when he doesn't have as much power, I'm okay with that. I just want the guy out there because we know you're a team that's going to win a lot of the time with pitching and defense. Even when they weren't hitting, that's what was happening. They were winning games because of the pitching and defense. So the guy just needs to be out there. There are so many extreme split hitters on this team, and that's why people get frustrated with Joe playing the matchups. And a lot of times, he's really just doing the best thing. Like Kyle Schwarber, it's really not even a debate anymore. Okay, he's just going to sit against lefties because they're deep, and they're just going to work other guys in. There have been injuries, though, too. We need to remember that. Rizzo's been on the DL. Bryant was almost on the DL. Zobrist was on the DL. I mean, when healthy, what looked early pretty good from Zobrist, when healthy, those are three of your most consistent hitters on the team, and they're not out there together. But right now, the excuses are out the window. I think it just happens to be all at the same time. They seem to be struggling. It's going to turn around, but the offense is a big concern. It's just weird to look at that lineup and look at some of those hitters at the bottom of the lineup. But yeah, it is a concern.
If he's healthy, I want to see if I can figure out how to do this. How would you go about having Ben Zobrist maybe be the leadoff guy for the majority of the season?
You can't. But I don't have an issue with him hitting leadoff at all. It makes a lot of sense.
He's your high OBP guy.
He's your high OBP guy. The guys, the matchups don't matter because he can attack from either side of the plate. So that's not a big concern. You don't have a spot. You don't. You want Baez out there. Once in a while, he can spell Rizzo, but you want Anthony Rizzo out there. Where do you put the corner outfielders? If a right-hander's on the mound, you want Schwarber out there. Hayward, you like him for his defense. You can't really bench him long term. Not in the first week of May. I don't have an issue with hitting Zobrist leadoff at all. But he's the fourth outfielder. He's the fifth infielder.
I wanted to run a stat by you that I saw this morning because we were talking about it last week. Rob Huff of The Athletic wrote about this, and it's Jason Hayward. And I already have people tweeting me that are mad at Jason Hayward, and I'm sure they're going to text in too.
Yeah, I know.
Here's the strange thing about Jason Hayward. In his career as a Cub, his hard hit rate is 26%. In the month of April, that's up to 34%. So when we talked about this last week, we weren't imagining things. That we are seeing him get more velocity, exit velocity. Now, he's still grounding out, and that ground ball percentage is high. But the fact that he's hitting the ball harder, I feel like means that there's going to be more hits for him.
It's funny. There's a lot of people that have said they've heard from scouts that when Jason Hayward came to the Cubs, that his swing was a complete mess. And they've been working on this for a couple of years, and it's finally just starting to turn around. And, yeah, we did talk about it. It is something you kind of had to whisper because nobody wants to hear it. They've made up their mind on Jason Hayward. They think they know what he is, and you better not say anything positive about the guy, unless it's defense or base running. And, by the way, the defense has not been up to Jason Hayward's standards this year. But, no, I don't think we're imagining it. The dream is, can you get him to be an average hitter, an average major league hitter? I think we're seeing reasons that it's trending that way. But I would like these little gaffes in right field to stop. That would help.
Yeah, well, he had that Sunfield in Colorado. I felt bad for him because that felt like one of those days where I don't know if anyone could have handled some of the fly balls that he was taking on. It just seemed weird. And he
there was a play in Milwaukee, too, earlier in the year. But we remember these moments because we're not used to seeing them.
Oh, for sure, because basically he's catching everything from right center to the foul line and is usually positioned well. He throws people out. Great, he's a great fielder, but I am encouraged by the fact that there is some exit velo that's going on with him. Let me ask you a couple of big picture baseball things before I let you go. Mike Trout's home run last night. Wow, they said it was 524 feet. I don't know if I buy that. The guy hitting with him in that lineup, Albert Pujols, closing in on 3,000 hits. I feel like we have kind of ignored how great Albert Pujols is for because he's been bad for the last like 3 or 4 years. But that guy was consistently, what, 320, 40, 120. And now you're talking about a dude who's going to have 3,000 hits and over 600 home runs.
Do you really think that? I mean, this is a three-time MVP. We've just forgotten about it over the last 10 years. As it's been a slow decline.
Yeah, I think that his Angels career has made us forget how not just great, but dominant he was in St. Louis. And there are moments.
See, that makes more sense.
You know what I mean? Like, there are moments where you still see it. When you see him come up to the plate in a big moment and he drives a ball. But, I mean, my goodness. Like, you talk about him and Frank Thomas when you start talking about the consistency of long stretches of greatness from the right-hand side of the plate. And then you see, oh, man, he's two hits away from 3,000. And you have on that team, it was so funny, there was a great shot last night where it's, you know, there's a highlight of Trout. Pujols is in the batter's box, and Ohtani is on deck. And you just go, those are three.
Wow.
That's I'm just sitting there going, maybe the best player in Mike Trout, one of the guys that has the incredible numbers from, and then a guy that might be Babe Ruth, like right there in your picture. It was just a very cool baseball moment last night.
And it's funny because Mike Trout is having such an excellent season. So now Pujols is starting to get a little attention. And for most of the year, it's all been about Ohtani. It's been the Ohtani story. And Trout is having this unbelievable season. He is on pace to have the greatest season we've ever seen. And people are talking about his teammate being the MVP. Or even Mookie Betts, who in his own right is having a fantastic season. So again, the attention is being taken away. But yeah, it's an Angels thing. We don't see the games as much. They don't get the coverage. So, let me go through similar batters through 37. Let me throw these numbers at you to Pujols, okay? The
All
similarity
right.
scores on Baseball Reference. Number one, Hank Aaron.
Oh, okay. That'll work.
Frank Robinson.
Uh-huh.
Willie Mays.
That's pretty good.
Mel Ott.
That's pretty good.
Griffey.
Yep.
A-Rod.
Yep.
Manny.
Yep.
Jimmy Fox.
Double X? Hell yeah.
Raffy. We'll move on from that one. And Bonds.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
There are some people criticizing, saying he's a bit of a compiler because he's played for so long. That is ridiculous. He's a first ballot, no question, Hall of Famer. I don't think that debate's really going on. I mean, maybe it's just about he's not getting his just due, right?
That's like, all I'm talking about.
Like David Ortiz celebrated at every moment, especially when he swears into a microphone.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe because Pujols, for the most part, has been kind of a quiet dude for the most part, and now you're in a franchise that people kind of don't care about. I mean, even Mike Trout, like, we all know that Mike Trout's the best player in the game, but even still, like, people want to argue with you about it because they don't.
Who's arguing?
Well, I know that you're not arguing, but there are people. I mean, look, he wasn't MVP.
Well, he did miss a lot of time last year, and there was a debate. In my mind, there was a debate that he could have been the MVP a season ago.
He
should be. It's like the Michael Jordan thing.
It's LeBron.
Like, well, I'm sick of voting for Michael Jordan, so I'm just going to go to... Wait, Carl, no, you're not serious. Are you really? Oh, you're going to give it to that dude? Not MJ? You know who the best player is. And right, like you were just starting to say, the LeBron thing too.
He's just better than everybody, and watching him is an absolute joy. Joe, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it, Lawrence. Talk to you later.
That's Joe Ostrowski. Check him out on Hit and Run Sunday mornings, 9 a.m. until Cubs first pitch usually, although this weekend it won't be the case because that would mean they're doing like a 10-hour show. But you can also check out Joe tomorrow morning starting at 5 a.m. on the Mully and Hanley Show. This segment being brought to you by Tomorrow Sleep. A new Tomorrow hybrid mattress is designed by sleep experts at Serta Simmons. Visit gettomorrowsleep.com. Use code TRAFFIC3 for $200 off when you spend $500 or more. We're going to take a break. I want to really delve into the Yu Darvish thing with some sound that I heard from the score earlier today and some stuff that I had on my show. What's up with you? I think we might have an idea. I'll share with you next here on the score. Julie, thank you very much. I'm going to talk with Bruce Miles of the Daily Herald coming up at 9 o'clock. I'm looking forward to talk. I ran into Bruce. I was at Wrigley this week. It was good to be over there. Sat in a couple of press conferences, talked with people, you know, shook hands, kissed babies, that sort of thing. But I always love talking with Bruce Miles, and it reminded me, like, we haven't had Bruce on in a while, so we'll talk with him at 9 o'clock. A couple weeks ago, I had Jim Deshays on the show, and I was happy. That was another good thing. I got a chance to talk with Jim a little bit and thank him for being on the show. But while watching all this Darvish stuff, and remember, Darvish, so far this season, he's really had two good starts out of six. Two good starts, four bad ones. The numbers on him are ugly. 30 innings pitched, 31 hits, 20 earned runs, 22 total, 16 walks, 37 strikeouts, 6 home runs, a total ERA of 6. Then we start talking about the fifth inning. The fifth inning right now for Darvish is a complete outlier. The rest of his numbers are not horrible, but the fifth inning numbers are some of the worst you'll see. So far, he's made it through the, he's only thrown four innings in the fifth inning. So four innings, 14 earned runs. He has an ERA in the fifth inning of 31.50. The opponent's slash line against Yu Darvish in the fifth inning. You ready for this? 571, 657, 1.036. Opponents in the fifth inning have an on-base plus slugging of 1.693 against Yu Darvish in the fifth inning. Jim DeShays was on the show, and one of the things that we got to talking about was Darvish's arsenal. Now, he's one of these guys that can throw a bunch of different pitches. Some people tell you he's got 6-7 pitches in his arsenal. So I asked Jim about figuring out what pitches to use and how to use them.
A guy like Darvish is so talented. What has surprised me about him to this point is he's basically been a two-pitch pitcher. He's throwing fastballs and sliders, and he'll manipulate his slider, change the shape of it a little bit. But I thought we'd see, you know, maybe a few more slower curveballs and mix in occasional changeup or a split. But I think, you know, part of his story is there was a time when he was throwing so many different pitches, somebody decided that he needed to kind of narrow his repertoire a little bit to find some consistency. So I think somewhere in between is where he's going to be at his best. And I guess that speaks to how good he is, that he can go out there and be a fastball slider guy and still pitch as well as he did his last time out.
I like the guys that'll take, you know, two pitches and vary them and it ends up being four or five different pitches. What's the key to that?
Well, it's just, you know, most guys can shape their breaking ball a little bit, make it a little bigger and a little softer, a little harder and shorten the break on it. And we get tied up sometimes in the jargon between sliders and cutters and slurves and curves. And for me, it's finding it's more about velocity, change in velocity. So if you're throwing, like Darvish, if you're throwing 94, 95 with your fastball and you're throwing an 87-mile-an-hour slider, I think there's benefit in being able to flip a little 75-mile-an-hour curveball up there just to give the hitters a different look. But most guys can just change their arm angle a little bit and create a little bit different movement on their slider. So sometimes it has a little more downward break to it. Sometimes it's a little more horizontal across the strike zone.
Okay. One of the criticisms of Darvish is that because he has so many pitches, is that it sometimes leads to him losing command of perhaps the most important. And if you look at what's happened over the last few starts, he's lost command of his fastball. Now, there's some different scenarios here. There was the one inning where things got the balk call. He kind of went to the zoo and everything broke bad. The fifth inning has clearly been a bugaboo by the way that, you know, what I'm telling you, what happens statistically. But in this last start, you saw him not be able to put his fastball where he wanted. And when he missed location, it got hit hard. This morning, Ozzie Guillen was on with Mully and Hanley. And they asked him about Darvish's arsenal. What pitch should he throw? What pitches should he put away? Where does he need to focus? Listen to what Ozzie is seeing when he's watching Darvish.
I just say, hey, listen, you know what? I know you have seven pitches, about throw through two or three for strikes and command those pitches. I think the best pitch or the hardest pitch to do is fastball with good command. If you throw a good fastball with a good command, that's all you need. And the secondary pitch, they got to come with. But if your fastball is in the spot where you want it or where it should be and they hit it, you got to tip you out. But that's the pitch. Every good pitcher has to come with it. Pitcher, you know, this is my fastball in. Hopefully it's in. Let's get him in.
Bartolo Colon, in this part of his career, is like, that's all he's throwing is fastballs. But he's been able to get away with it because he can vary it a little bit, and the location has been fantastic. Mariano Rivera, One pitch pitcher. Now, granted, we're talking about the greatest, one of the greatest pitchers of all time. But you get Ozzie's point that you can be effective if you have fastball command. And that no matter how many pitches you throw, no matter how many, and we've all seen the GIF, there's the great GIF of all the different pitches that Yu Darvish can throw and how it can be so deceptive to hitters. He's got to get command of his fastball. That's got to become imperative. So what was really cool is that then the boys had Jed Hoyer on. And they asked Jed what Jed thought of Ozzie's assessment of Darvish. Here's what Jed said.
Ozzie said what I was going to say, which is that I think yesterday in particular was really about command of the fastball. You know, I just think that from the beginning of the game, he was struggling to command it. Even when he was getting outs, some of those balls were leaking into the middle of the plate and were pretty hittable. And, you know, on warm days in Wrigley, you can't get away with those kind of pitches. And so I think yesterday was about command of the fastball. You know, I do think that there's something to be said. He has a lot of weapons. I think that getting, you know, a couple of off-speed weapons locked in will make a big difference. But I thought yesterday was really just, you know, about command of the fastball, just these kind of scattering balls. And, you know, hopefully next time out, he'll you know, fine tune that. And I know that's what they're going to work on in his side session this week.
So that's great. It lets you know that when it comes to, it's always nice to confirm that experts know what they're talking about. And in those three clips, you find out, I mean, not that you didn't know, that Jim knows what he's talking about, that Ozzie knows what he's talking about when he sees it, and that Jed recognizes it. Get your fastball under control. And it's here's the crazy thing. With Darvish, it's not the velocity. The velocity's been fine. In fact, the velocity for Darvish has actually been up. He might need to take a couple miles per hour off his fastball to get command of it again and put it where he wants. So instead of it being 96, maybe it's 94, but you're pinpointing it. It makes it a much more effective pitch. So I just wanted to share that with you. It was a weird thing that it all kind of came together this morning because I was in the car at different times. So it was like I was on my way to the gym when they were talking to Ozzie. I was leaving the gym when they were talking to Jed, and it sparked the Jim DeShays thing in my brain. And I know that you're probably sitting there watching Darvish wear it, and you're like, what's going on? So there you have three informed opinions about what's going on with Darvish. And if you take away nothing, take away this. Watch his next start and see if his fastball is where the mitt is. And if you see that he's trailing off by too much and that he's not hitting his spot with his fastball, know that you're going to see a bad Yu Darvish outing. Until he gets command of his fastball, he's not a lot of good to you. Even with all the pitches that he throws, he's got to get that one perfected first and then work off of that. Back after this on The Score.
Reading some of your responses via the text line, if you'd like to text the show, 7011 is the way you can do it. You can also call if you wish, 312-644-6767.
An 815 texter asked, do you think Yu's issues are related to everything he's been through in the last year? Three teams, dealing with free agency, etc. I don't think you can discount it. It's funny. We were having a conversation. Like, you know, we go, when I get here, what usually happens is there's a concept of the show that I have in my mind, and there are particular things that I want to talk about, and I usually like to accentuate those things with sound. So I knew the two cuts that I wanted to use from earlier today, and I knew the Jim DeShays thing. The other part of the Ozzie cut, and we edited it to make it specifically about pitch selection, because that's what I wanted to talk about. But one of the things that Ozzie said was really interesting He was talking about how people who didn't grow up here, when they get big money contracts, there is a level of guilt if they fail that maybe we don't think about. And so I was interested. You know, I kind of leaned into the radio a little bit to hear him talk about it. And, you know, I'm born and raised here, so it's not my experience. So when I hear other people talking about their experience, I try to, you know, listen and see if there's something I can pick up. I had never really thought about it as you're Yu Darvish, you're on three teams in the last 6 months. You signed a $126 million contract. But then I thought about it from the standpoint of he's also a representation of something that you want to prove that you came from a league that is good at producing major league talent at the highest level. You want to show this new team that spent all this money and all this time and all the resources that the Cubs had to try and snag him, you want to go out and do your best, and you're not doing your best. And then how do you react when you're not doing your best? Now, I know that the reflex of all of us is to go, well, if I was making $126 million, I wouldn't care. But I think there's a flip side to that. Because you're making $126 million, because you're making $25 million a year, there's a level of expectation. Think about how mad you get at Jason Hayward. Because, not because he's a bad player, but because he's a bad player for $20 million a year. And if you're Darvish and you can't fully express yourself, he speaks English, but maybe not as well as he could.
He speaks English. If you go and watch Jim Hickey go out there, back in the day, they used to have, you know, a Japanese interpreter.
Interpreter, yeah.
Not anymore. That man speaks perfect English.
I don't know if he speaks perfect English, because when he does media, he still does it in Japanese.
Well, that's a nice, convenient way to do it. Because I know a lot of White Sox players that spoke English but never spoke to the press.
Ichiro. I mean, the guys around baseball tell you. And he learned all the bad words, apparently. All of them. Ichiro's all-star speech is legendary. Like, every year, the American League All-Stars would, like, sit and wait, and then they would get addressed by Ichiro. And he would throw every 4- and 12-letter word that he had learned in his American experience out there. But
why,
I never.
Why are the bad words so easy to attain by other languages?
You know why? Because I think that, honestly, I would have to get a linguistic expert on. But I think that because they're so gratifying to say, those are words that are spoken with emphasis. You and I are having a conversation. Think about how you lean into those words. You lean in a little bit. And if you're someone who's never heard or you're not familiar with the language, and you hear the K in the F word, you hear it when people say it. So it catches your ear. People say it with they say it with their chest, as Kevin Hart would say. So I think that it becomes attractive. There's also something fun about learning a naughty word in another language. So that's what, again, I would have to ask someone who studies linguistics for a living, but I think that there is something satisfying. Think about it. The F word in particular, that's a gratifying word to say. It is powerful. Like, you're like, man, you. I mean, it is. And you lean into it.
I think that's Herb's favorite one.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt. There's no doubt. The 12-letter word is kind of mine. And you lean, like, you know, you say it with some emphasis. Northside and Al. Hey, Al, you're on The Score.
Hey, great show. I really like the Thomas Jones stuff.
Oh, thanks.
Like your show all the way. You know, I think what a lot of Cub fans are thinking, definitely what I'm thinking, is Yu Darvish going to be a head case? I mean, I know that it's obvious that it's his fastball that needs to be corrected, but are we going to get a guy who's mentally feeling right, he pitches well? If he's off for whatever reason, he does not have the mental toughness to be a pitcher in Chicago in a pennant race.
Well, I don't know if we're there yet, Al, that we can say that. We are still talking about 1 month of baseball, and it's been an odd first month of baseball. I want to give him a couple more starts. I want to see if he can find command of that fastball. But it is something that's worth watching. How does he handle some of this adversity? For sure. Because we're talking 6 years, and he's 31 years old. You don't want this to go badly immediately and then realize you're going to be stuck with that for a long time. This segment being brought to you by Spot Hero. And finally, here's a way you can save time parking. Use Spot Hero anytime you park. First-time users can enter promo code SMART for $10 off. Spot Hero, park smarter. Spot Hero does not pay me. I love their service. It makes life easy. Like driving downtown where you're like, I just need to be somewhere for 2 hours. And you're like, oh, found that spot for $10. Bet. Instead of like around here, around The Score, you park with the city, 2 hours on the street, that's going to cost you a grip. That's why I like Spot Hero. We're going to talk more about the Cubs when we talk with Bruce Miles. We will do that next here on The Score.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.